Blog Talk Radio.
Chapter 20. A praying pulpit begets a praying pew. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, illuminating the eyes of your understanding, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power in us who believe. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 through 19. I judge that my prayer is more than the devil himself. If it were otherwise, Luther would have fared differently long before this. Yet men will not see and acknowledge the great wonders or miracles God works in my behalf. If I should neglect prayer but a single day, I should lose a great deal of the fire of faith. Martin Luther. The apostles could only get glimpses of the great importance of prayer before Pentecost. But when the Spirit came and filled the people on Pentecost, prayer was elevated to its vital and all-commanding position in the gospel of Christ. The call now to every saint is the Spirit's loudest and most urgent call. Sanctification is made, refined, and perfected by prayer. The gospel moves at a slow and timid pace when the saints are not at their prayers early and late and for a long time. Where are the Christ-like leaders who can teach the modern saints how to pray and set them to do it? Do we realize we are raising up a prayerless set of saints? Where are the apostolic leaders who can put God's people to praying? Let them come to the front and do the work, and it will be the greatest work that can be done. An increase of educational facilities and a great increase of money will be the direst curse to religion if believers are not sanctified by more and better praying than we are doing. More praying will not come automatically. The campaign for the 20th or 30th century fund will not help our praying, but it will hinder it if we are not careful. Nothing but a specific effort from a praying leadership will accomplish this. The chief ones must lead in the apostolic effort to emphasize the vital importance and fact of prayer in the heart and life of the church. No one but praying leaders can have praying followers. Praying apostles will beget praying saints. A praying pulpit will beget praying pews. We do greatly need somebody who can set the saints to this business of praying. We are not a generation of praying saints. Non-praying saints are a beggarly gang of saints who have no passion, no beauty, and no power of saints. Who will restore this breach? The one who can set the church to praying will be the greatest of reformers and apostles. Our most sober judgment is that the great need of the church is men of such commanding faith, men of unsullied holiness, marked spiritual eagerness, and consuming zeal. Their prayers, faith, lives, and ministry will be of such a radical and aggressive form as to work spiritual revolutions that will form eras in individual and church life. We do not mean men who stir up sensational emotions by novel devices or those who attract by pleasing entertainment. We need men who can stir things and work revolutions by the preaching of God's word and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Revolutions that change all the current trends. Natural ability and educational advantages do not figure as factors in this matter. Capacity for faith, the ability to pray, the power of thorough consecration, and the ability of humility are needed. Men must lose themselves in God's glory and retain an ever-present, insatiable yearning as they seek after all the fullness of God. Scripture, as the hart pants after the water brooks, so does my soul pant after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Psalm 42, verses 1 through 2. Men who yearn for God like this can set the church ablaze, not in a noisy, showy way, but with an intense and quiet heat that melts and moves everything for God. God can work wonders if he can get a suitable man. Men can work wonders if they can get God to lead them. The full endowment of the Spirit that turned the world upside down would be exceedingly useful in these latter days. Men who can stir things mightily for God, whose spiritual revolutions change the whole direction of things, are the universal need of the church. The church has never been without these men. They adorn its history. They are the standing miracles of the divinity of the church. Their example and history are an unfailing inspiration and blessing. We should pray for an increase in their number and power. That which has been done in spiritual matters can be done again and can be done better. This was Christ's view. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." John chapter 14, verse 12. The past has not exhausted the possibilities or the demands for doing great things for God. The church that is dependent on its history for its miracles of power and grace is a fallen church. God wants elect men, men who have experienced a severe crucifixion of self and have totally ruined themselves and the world so that there is neither hope nor desire of recovery. God wants men who have turned perfect hearts toward him. Let us pray passionately that God's promise to prayer may be more than realized. Scripture, persevere in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2.